week on All My Children.
Damn, Angela, this meal looks delicious.
Lots of salt, just the way you like it.
But, Jesse, the doctors diagnosed you with high blood pressure. I never made meals for you with salt.
Damn, damn, damn!
Mommy, where is Aunt Di?
Honey, I have to tell you something. Aunt Di is Aunt Dead.
Queenie, what are you doing here at the hospital?
Aiden was shot by Di Henry and he's dying, Daddy. But tell me, Daddy, what is going on with Fusion? I love Reese so much.
And I love Bianca so much.
We're just having so much joie de vivre, Zach, Karen, France. Mm. I love you.
All right, girls, I'll give you the sperm right now.
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
So you don't have to. That is gospel to us here.
I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And she grabs that little 95-pound girl by the earlobe and the hand.
Hit him.
I was like, slap her, hit her, go.
The new writer is coming on. I won't be seeing you people ever again. Bye.
Don't let the prison gate hit you in the ass.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
Forget about going to visit Bianca in Paris. Why don't you go visit Josh in Pine Valley? Because he hasn't seen you either.
I'm going to say it right now. I am not immune.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending November 21st, 2008.
Woo! Time is flying by.
It is almost the end of the year, people.
I know. Thanksgiving's next week.
Next week. I feel just yesterday it was New Year's Day.
New Year's Day, yes. No, I know. It just seemed like yesterday Erica was in prison.
Just yesterday, dancing to that crack song.
Yeah, to that crack song.
Erica Kane.
I know, and so much has happened, and yet so little has happened in Pine Valley.
So much has happened, and yet we care so little.
Well, yeah, I guess that's what it is. Well, I mean, again, there's more stuff going on behind the scenes than in front of the scenes.
There's more stuff going on behind my scenes than behind anything happening at All My Children.
I know, and there's so much going on in TV in general. Did you hear the latest?
What?
This is for all you. I mean, it's everywhere. Everybody knows. They fired Deirdre Hall and Drake Hogeston from Days of Our Lives.
I saw that on SoapCentral.com.
That is like if you woke up and they fired Susan Lucci and Michael Knight, or Susan Lucci and David Canary.
Is that really serious?
Yes, they're really serious. Budget cuts, girl. NBC told Days of Our Lives, we'll renew you to 2010, but you're gonna have to make some major cuts. And that's what they did. That's what they did. And supposedly they're saying also that Peter Recco and Christian Alfonso, who are like, you know, the Greg and Jenny of Days of Our Lives, they took major pay increase to like stay on the show. So they cut their paychecks.
You mean pay decrease?
Pay decrease. I'm sorry. Yes, pay decrease.
This is
what's going on. And it's not, you know what?
I don't like to hear that.
Daytime always starts the trends, and nighttime follows, you know, the trends of daytime. And now it seems that this horrible trend is going on in nighttime, too. Nighttime shows are suffering so badly. I was reading an article that said that the ratings are, like, literally hemorrhaging on nighttime shows. They just canceled a bunch of my nighttime shows.
Like what?
They canceled my Pushing Daisies.
Not great.
I love Pushing Daisies.
Did you really?
It's not your kind of style, girl. That it's too artsy for you.
Esoteric.
That's not true.
I love Mad Men.
No, but Mad Men's drama. That's reality of a time period. Pushing Daisies is more fantasy.
I liked the 6 Feet Under. And
Ally McBeal, I would say, is going towards Pushing Daisies. But Pushing Daisies is very, like, I'm not surprised they canceled it, because Pushing Daisies is very limited. No, it's good. it's very limited in the kind of audience it could bring in. It's not for everybody. They canceled my Dirty Sexy Money, which I love.
Ooh, speaking of 6 Feet Under, Peter Krause.
Yes, he's on Dirty Sexy Money. I cannot believe. Now, see, Dirty Sexy Money is more commercial. That's like a nighttime soap. You need to let it build its audience. These ABC, NBC, CBS are crazy. They have no patience for these
shows. They took off Dirty Sexy Money and put on Super Manny.
Yes, and they're going back. For those of you who are big Nighttime fans, this is really serious because it seems like they're going back to the reality shows.
Oh, yeah.
They got a new reality show coming on ABC from Ashton Kutcher and Big Forehead Tyra Banks. You know, she's the black version of Brianna Mungrie.
She's a little bit better actress, though.
They're like, they both got big foreheads.
That's true.
And like,
five heads, Jordan.
And so, like, they're going back to, like, it seems like they're going back to more reality shows. They canceled Lipstick Jungle, even though Brooke Shields, I don't think she's taking her medicine because she's going around telling everybody that this show isn't canceled, but NBC canceled it.
Yeah.
It's like, Brooke, honey, I know you're desperate for
a job,
but, you know, it's canceled, girl.
Taking her Depakote.
And I got to tell you,
that's a celebrity rehab reference, people.
Did you see Lipstick Jungle?
I couldn't watch it. I thought that and Cashmere Mafia were terrible.
Well, see, I agree with you. I wouldn't say that the both shows were terrible. I think that the two shows together would have made one great show. Yes. See, that's the problem. You had, what's his name, Darren Star behind one, Candace Bushell on another, and these two people brought us Sex and the City, but they both were getting a little bit too diva-ish, and they wanted to go their own way. And what happened was you had two shows that each had a little something-something right, but they had a little something-something wrong. And if you guys would have probably stuck together and
Cashmere
created one show,
Mafia had a lot of something wrong.
But see, Cashmere's Mafia to me was more like Sex and the City. Was more a little bit light with some
too
serious.
Goody-goody,
I didn't necessarily like the actresses. I did like the actresses
Lucy
better
Liu
on.
Was good, but that's it.
I like the actresses better on Lipstick Jungle. But Lipstick Jungle
is
boring.
Real. They're full of crap. It's
Lipstick
like they're not
Jungle
real.
Was very
like,
boring.
Like 6 feet under, those women feel, even though they're not real at all, they feel more real. Like they feel like they're not. They weren't so beautiful that they were perfect.
No, it definitely didn't capture the Sex and the City for me. Either show didn't like replace Sex and the City in my eyes.
I don't like network TV, Jordan. That's what I think.
I will,
except for reality.
Well,
reality.
Obviously.
I admit it, people. I like some reality shows. Not
obviously,
all of them. Some of them.
The Emmys agree with you because look at who won all the Emmys this year.
HBO. Showtime.
FX. FX cleaned house.
You want to know why? Except for FX, because they ain't answering to advertisers. They could make the shows they want to make.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. But this is again, daytime started this trend. It started with daytime. Daytime started losing viewers first, and now nighttime is feeling the same budget cuts. I read that one nighttime show admitted that they had to, like, they can no longer get big names to guest star on their show because it costs too much. Mm. So they have to get unknown actors, which is great for unknown actors, but now it's like, you know, when nighttime has to be making these budget cuts, to firing cast members. Supposedly, Justin Bruning from All My Children, he's on Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Supposedly, that's the reason they got rid of, like, his entire cast. Like, he had a cast of people on his show. That show looks stupid.
It's horrible.
I saw a clip of it on The Soup this week.
Oh,
and I was
horrible.
I love you, Joe McHale. I wish Joe McHale was gay. He's hot. God, Joe McHale's hot.
But listen to me. All the viewers of All My Children, I bet you a lot of us listening, a lot of you people listening right this very second gave Knight Rider a chance. Number one.
I didn't.
Number one, because it was Knight Rider and we all of us that were alive when Knight Rider was on, it was a fun show.
I never watched it.
Number two, our Justin Bruning was on.
I hate Justin
Bruning. I gave
Bruning.
It a shot. After two episodes, done. Kaput. Kaplooey. Piece of crap. Junk. Get rid of it.
I hate Justin Bruning.
I don't mind Justin Bruning. He's a nice man.
I didn't like him.
Not
I like
a great
the other
actor,
Jamie.
But a nice young
I like
man.
The other Jamie. Micah Alberti.
Oh, come on.
Alberti was my favorite
that
Jamie.
That kid was a big pussy. He was.
Leave my Mike Alberti alone.
Rooting and crying.
I like Mike Alberti as Jesse. He was Jesse, not Jesse.
Micah
Jamie.
Alberti. What the hell?
Micah Alberti. You know who he used to date, I heard?
Who?
Amanda Sefton, the girl that played his girlfriend on the show that went on to become really
big.
No,
that was Amanda Seyfried.
Whatever her name is.
Yes.
Something like that.
She was in Mamma Mia. Mama, how can I resist you? It always bothered me that the line was, how can I resist ya? And not, how can I resist you? It sounds like bad English to me. It's really weird
well,
to hear
from,
Meryl.
They're from Sweden or something
really
like that.
It's really weird to hear Meryl Streep go, my, how can I resist ya? It sounds funny.
Well, I gotta tell you, we gotta clear something up.
What? This is a show about All My Children?
No. Yes, it is.
We're gonna get to that, alright?
Everything segues back to All My Children.
We're gonna get back to it.
Because we've been talking, our blog's been hopping this week.
Hopping.
Y'all come, Ty brought up Woody Woodpecker.
Oh, would have
I don't know if he said, if Ryan would have gone right to the police, this would never have happened. Because that was one of my favorite.
If Ryan had gone straight to the police, this would never have happened.
That is one of my favorite Woody Woodpecker episodes. And the other one is, remember when Woody kept building his house and it kept getting, like, destroyed? And he's like, let it rain, let it thunder, I found another home. That was my other favorite Woody Woodpecker.
Oh, I love that one, too.
So Ty brought that up. But we got to cancel it because everybody thinks that I'm like this big One Night to Live fan and I'm like knocking on my children.
He is.
You got to understand something. I used to watch the entire ABC lineup from Ryan's Hope all the way down to The Edge of Night.
And the CBS and the NBC lineup.
No, at that time I was only watching the ABC. I wasn't into Guiding Light yet. I got into Guiding Light when Edge of Night got canceled.
I liked Ryan's
and
Hope
Luke
too.
And Laura left General Hospital and I needed to find a new show, and I discovered Guiding Light just as, you know, Kim Zimmer was coming on and the Four Musketeers were coming on.
Yes.
You don't know that because you never watched Guiding Light. What that
Hells
means.
Hells no.
But when it came to 2 o'clock, I turn
as
the TV. No, Another World.
Another World.
World is the only show that was right next in my heart, like All My Children.
Really?
Another World was very similar to All My Children. It was a show about family and relationships, very well written. Another World, I miss Another World to this day. Okay.
He's crying a little bit.
I love my Another World. I was never a big One Night to Live fan. The only time that I was a dedicated One Night to Live fan was when Claire Levine was writing it, because she focused on Dorian, who I always loved, and of course my Todd and Taya. Because Florencio Lozano is one of the most incredible actresses. I don't know why some of the soap has not picked her up. I'm upset that Gossip Girl...
She don't want to be picked up.
I'm upset that Gossip Girl did not keep her as Blair's mother. Because in the pilot of Gossip Girl,
she was Blair's mother on Gossip Girl. Where was that filmed? California?
No, this filmed here in New York, Gossip Girl. And she played Blair's mother in the pilot. And then, because the pilot, they replaced her. Well, because, you know, the pilots, they shoot, like, months before picked up. So another fabulous daytime diva, Margaret Collin, who's Justin D's wife, who used to be on As the World Turns, she took over as Blair's mother.
She is much older,
but I wanted Florencia to be on the show.
Of course you did. She's a sister.
You know, I love me some Florencia.
She's beautiful.
And
Spanish.
I heard that she's coming back, but I heard she's only coming back for a couple episodes, which upsets me to no end, because One Night to Live, you need her. I'm sure she's either going to be defending Todd trying to, like, stick it to him.
Court scene.
Is that
a spoiler? Uh-oh.
No,
this is the Pine Valley Podcast. I can spoil One Night to Live all I want.
Everybody knows she's coming back.
But they don't know about the court scenes. Oh!
Well, anyway, she's coming back. But it's a very limited run. I wish that she was coming back for good. Because, you know, she's the only one who really, truly loved Todd. Everybody else did not love Todd the way Taya did. Taya fell in love knowing what a psychopath he is.
Yeah.
Which doesn't say a lot about Taya, but anyway. That's when I watched One Night to Live. The reason that I'm a big stickler for One Night to Live right now, it's not because, I'm not going to lie and say that I like everybody on the show. It's not that. The thing is that the writing is good. The stories are solid. They're telling a story. Everything connects. All My Children this week had so many holes in their stories, and so many bizarre things were happening. I mean, I'm not going to say that it was unwatchable, but it was very frustrating to watch the show this week again.
Horrible.
Because I think that some of the, first of all, pace. These writers do not understand the concept of pacing a story out. The good things they rush into 2 seconds instead of stretching it out, and then the things that we shouldn't be seeing stretched out, like Kobe's forehead, they keep stretching it out for days. For days, I have to see her forehead.
They should project a movie on that thing.
And it just
like in Celebrity Rehab where they watch the Buddy Holly story, they should project the Buddy Holly story on Kobe's forehead. That'd be so fun. That would be entertaining. I would pay money.
Come up with this?
I would pay money to see that on daytime television.
Okay.
Project that movie on her forehead. I would watch every minute.
But did you not find some of the things creepy on All My
Children? Horrible.
Like, I mean, we had some creepy storylines, and then certain storylines might have worked in a couple of months. Not right now.
Which one is the creepiest? I would say David and Amanda is the creepiest.
I'm finding David and Amanda and the whole JR thing a little creepy. I think that if they would have plot this out and paced it out better, and if this would have been coming down 6 months down the pike, then I could have easily bought it. But it just doesn't ring true for me, guys.
I have a question for you.
What?
Why are the women of all my children so easily manipulated by men?
Because you have a male head writer writing the show who obviously doesn't know anything about being a woman, which is why when he took over General Hospital, the women on that show, when Claire Levine was writing it, it made them so powerful, became just as weak as they are on All My Children
Disgusting.
Now.
Disgusting. Actually, that makes me really angry because that makes sense to me and that makes me really angry. I don't understand it. It makes me so angry.
I'm sorry. I'm not saying that you need to be a woman to write for women because a writer should be able to write whatever. But obviously, Chuck Pratt does not know how to write for women. Sorry. It's a fact. It shows in his writing.
It absolutely does. The second I saw Carmen and Erica fighting and ripping off each other's clothes, that was it for me.
It shows you what he thinks of women, people. And see, this is why I need you guys to write in and complain because it doesn't get changed.
Do we want to talk about the JR storyline?
Yeah, let's talk about how slimy it is and how bizarre it is and
slimy.
You talk about the Todd and Marty storyline being uncomfortable watch. I find this uncomfortable watch. I don't feel anything redeeming in this storyline because it doesn't make sense, people. It does not make sense. Amanda says one minute that she's Babe's her best friend, which again I don't buy because her and Babe were never best friends. But she's saying that Babe's her best friend. She's saying that she can't do this JR. She gets a little liquor in her, and then all of a sudden she's doing it.
I mean, Erica. Erica makes her answer phones, and then she's like, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like so stupid.
Yeah, and that whole thing.
Stupid.
We'll get to that when Erica does, because I don't understand.
Yes, we'll get to it.
All right, let's start with this. Crystal brings
smiley little Adam to Adam's house, and this is against JR's wishes. But the reason why she was saying that little Adam was so upset, he looked happy as a clam. That little smiley twin, he is so smiley.
I know, they needed to get the depressed looking twin.
They do.
One of those twins is very depressed and doesn't show any like facial expressions, and the other one is too happy for his own good.
Really? They really they need to give the depressed one a little lollipop, like a little sugar coated with a little, little extra sugar.
Like what you give Gucci?
Yeah, like what I give Gucci. No, I don't give Gucci.
I know,
uppers.
You need to give Gucci downers.
I give Gucci downers.
I know, that is the most hyper dog.
I know. She's been good today. She took a poop on the floor today.
Why did she do that?
Because, listen, Carlos and I were sleeping this morning, and we were sound asleep, and, like, she never goes out before we get up. We get up at, like, I don't know, on the weekends, we get up at, like, 10 or something. You know what I'm saying? It's a
10.
Weekend. Hell yeah! Okay. You are up at, like, 8.
Yeah, I get up early.
I ain't no early person. I like to sleep. So I sleep on my weekends, and so we hear Gucci, crying, and we're like, damn, Gucci. And Carlos throws his pillow at Gucci. She don't shut up. So I'm like, Carlos, I think she got to go to the bathroom. He's like, nah, she just wants to eat. So we're like, okay. So we go to sleep and I wake up and there's like poo pellets tracking the hallway.
Why are we talking about this?
You know what? It's a really sad day when talking about poop is more interesting than talking about All My Children.
Or maybe it's because watching All My Children makes you want to poop.
Or something like that.
A poopy. Yeah. Okay.
I don't
know.
Back to this. JR is pissed. He comes back after his whole I'm going to drink rampage, but doesn't. And Crystal, I'm really happy because she finally looks like crap in these scenes.
I know somebody in the blog asked you. They said, "Are you finally happy, Ashley?"
Be careful what you wish for. I thought it was Shadow that said, "Be careful."
I want to say it was Laura, but I'm not sure. Somebody also mentioned how wrong it was of JR to throw the bottle in the elevator.
Yes.
When some kid could come on. And I'd say you were right about that. That was
absolutely
stupid. It was also just, again, bad writing. In other words, they think that throwing something means drama.
Now, let me ask you a question. Jordan Hudson, how the F is David still getting access to the Chandler porch?
Because Adam still has not gotten a new security team. You would think that after everything that's happened in the last few weeks.
He's on this porch and he skeeves Amanda again into going back. And I don't know what he's doing to manipulate her, but she goes back around the front door and goes to talk to JR. And David works on Crystal. And Crystal says she's going to call security and she don't. But I'm like, since when did you people have security?
I mean,
why is Crystal even talking to David? He's freaking crazy. He's crazier than Gary Busey.
It makes. We were just talking about Gary Busey before the show.
I'm gonna talk about celebrity rehab on the show if it kills me.
She loves her celebrity
rehab.
I really
do.
It just breaks my heart. I can't see Jeff Conway like that.
It is heartbreaking. You're right. But seriously, why?
I used to like Kanicki.
Why? I love Kanicki. Why is she engaging him?
holes in the storyline. This is what I'm telling you. There's too many holes in these storylines.
Chuck Pratt, weak, easily manipulated woman BS.
Okay, let me ask you this, because maybe I was asleep like back in early 2000 or something. Where was it that it was ever established that David and Crystal had any sort of relationship whatsoever?
It was established that they had a relationship when they had sex and made babe in college.
Once.
Yes.
They didn't date.
Yes. No.
They didn't see each other after that. They never had a relationship. It wasn't at any point. And even when they found each other again on the show, was there a point back then that the two of them got involved?
No.
So why all of a sudden are we supposed to believe that there's some undeniable attraction and chemistry between them just because they had a daughter?
No.
A daughter that A, he didn't know about until the girl was like already in her like 20s. And B, he knew her for like two and a half years before he left town.
No. You don't understand, Jordan. The reason why they're together is because Chuck Pratt said so.
Chuck Pratt, you need to look back in the history of the show.
Chuck Pratt, you need to find another job.
It doesn't make sense.
Maybe
it
go dig a ditch or something.
I'm sorry. It really doesn't make sense. I'm finding this all very hard to believe. His whole manipulation of Crystal and trying to get Crystal in bed seems creepy. It doesn't make sense. I mean, this is my problem. I mean, I know there's a Vincent Irizarry fan in our blog. I think it's great to have Vincent back because I do think Vincent's a great actor. And at one point, I did like the character, but I like the character when the character is written with some depth. Exactly what I was fearing. They're bringing him back because they need somebody other than Adam to cause trouble.
That's right.
And it's just like, and it's hard to buy this guy being so, first of all, I mean, the fact that he's even working in the hospital after everything that he's done.
No sense.
The fact that Dr. Joe Martin would even let him work in the hospital makes no sense.
No sense.
So all of this is very hard. I don't understand where he's coming from with
me
all this.
Me neither.
That shrine that he has to Babe at Wild Wind.
Creepy.
I would have rather that Jesse and Angie and the Hubbards moved into Wild Wind than to have David living in Wild Wind. It makes no sense. David's in this big house by himself.
I agree.
I mean, I don't know. I got to tell you, I like watching Vincent Irizarry. I don't get where they're coming from with this. And I'm not buying it, guys.
Well, JR bonds with Amanda and then they say goodbye or whatever. And all of a sudden, JR's nice to him. He's up and down with her, too. One day he loves her. Next day he wants to rip her dress off.
No, don't say it like that. There's a reason he ripped the dress off.
All right, fine. This is what happened. David goes, he calls Amanda on her way to work. She goes to the mansion and he makes her wear Babe's dress.
Now, let me ask you this. Where did David get Babe's dress from?
I don't know. He said some crap about getting her dress somehow from Crystal somehow.
No, did he really say that?
No. I don't know. I don't remember.
Because they didn't explain that. What, did he sneak into that the Tyler mansion?
That must have been
mansion?
The part where I made him pastrami sandwich.
He must have slipped into the... this is when he was in the tunnels and he decided to take Babe's dress. How weird is this man?
Creepy.
I'm not buying
it. And even worse, he like takes off Amanda's dress and then puts the other dress on her.
That was a very creepy scene too, dude.
That was like...
I didn't like that scene.
That was like Hannibal Lecter or something. That was... Territory.
That was just very bizarre. It did nothing for me.
Now, Crystal goes to bed with Tad the night before, and he has his t-shirt on. He's looking slimmer. I wish he wouldn't have that damn t-shirt on.
I gotta tell you, this is why they're shooting these episodes out of order, because he looked so good in the beginning of the week. He looked slimmer fatter. And lean, and then at the end of the week with that green sweater, he looked fatter. And his hair looked different. It looked longer.
And whiter.
Notice that?
I sure did.
I'm like, because at the beginning of the week, I said, wow, he's looking like Tad again.
Well, because people keep saying that he's so slim and stuff, but I don't really see it. I saw it in one episode, but yeah,
beginning of the week, this week, when he was in the suit, he looked really good and slim. When he was with Taylor.
Yes.
He looked really good and
exactly.
slim.
Exactly. His face
and
looks
then, slim. And then in the end of the week, when his hair was longer.
Yep.
And he had that green sweater that made him look really hideously fat.
Yep.
I was like, what's up with that?
And
they need to stop shooting these episodes out of order.
Well, they seem like they're okay when they go to bed, but then when they wake up, Crystal fights him again, right? She picks a fight with him.
Oh my God.
You know what the best part of that fight was?
What?
When she got out of bed in her little hot pink night bottoms, and you could see through them, you could see her little dark blue thong through them.
Oh, I wasn't looking that carefully.
And her little chunky butt, because she's not skinny, but she's not fat. She's beautiful.
She's a woman of a certain age.
Well, listen, she's got a great body because she's got a body. And she got that little booty, like badonkadonk booty. And she gets up and her little booty sticking out. You see that thong? That was nice. What?
Do you need to tell me something?
No! I like it. I like sexy ladies on the TV. I like sexy, strong ladies, because that's what I am. A sexy, strong lady. Mm-hmm. It's true. Mm-hmm. I got me some hot pink pajamas. Watch out.
That's all I got to say.
I got me some hot pink pajamas.
I think
they say Puerto Rican princess, but they're still hot pink. Mm-hmm. What?
I don't know. You things that make you go,
Listen, there are two women in this world I turn for. Edita Slavinsky and Amanda. I turn really? For them. Hell yeah. She's sexy.
Amanda?
She's the most beautiful, hottest thing on TV.
Okay, you say so.
She's not so beautiful. I can't explain it. Like, she got them messed up eyebrows. And, like, when she was playing drunk, there were certain angles.
She has no butt.
There were certain angles where they caught her face, and I was like, oof.
She has no butt. She is beautiful. I will tell you this. I've seen her without no makeup on, and I think she looks even hotter without makeup.
She's got a body of an angel.
She's got a very natural.
You can get away with a nasty face. She's got like, a Edita from Dancing with the Stars is not beautiful, but she's got a body of a goddess.
They would need to have her with no makeup on or less makeup, because they put a lot of makeup on her.
You know what they do
that bothers me? They make her look like a little glamour girl.
They put frost makeup right in, like, the brow bone, and she got that messed up scar up there. So it accentuates the scar up there. People, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I think I did notice that one week. Yeah. And I said, what's that?
She was talking to JR. You see the frost and you see the little dent of the scar. I never noticed that before. Probably a biking accident when she was a child in Kentucky.
But that's what makes her perfect, is that she's not perfect. A little imperfection is what makes you special.
I like that.
I can't tell. I think that's some Shakespeare or something this. So anyway.
Crystal goes. She picks a fight with Tad because, Tad, you don't know. You are telling me to get over my daughter in a day.
And I'm going
to
tell you, you know what? That was good. But again, it came out of nowhere.
Nowhere.
We have not seen this happening at all. We've been waiting for this to happen. We've been waiting for her to grieve. All of a sudden, now she's grieving.
Now she's grieving.
And then, and Tad, like, what was it she told Tad? She told Tad something. She was like, oh, she goes, You don't know what I'm feeling, what it feels like and everything. That was good, because you know what? Tad doesn't know what she's feeling. It is different to lose a child than a spouse.
That's true.
That is a different thing. You losing the love of your life, Dixie, is not the same as losing Jamie.
He does know, because he lost Kate for a while.
No, but all right. But she raised Babe her entire life by herself. It was the two of them. He didn't even knew Kate.
That's new Babe. She raised the original Babe. New Babe didn't even have an accent. New Babe was bleh.
Yeah.
New Babe was bleh, Babe. I started to like her toward the end, but she was still boring. Boring. Well, anyway.
Yeah, I know. I feel like that fight came out of nowhere.
Of course it came out of nowhere, because Chuck Prattle is more interested in plot than character, and so he had to cause a fight to drive her into David's arms.
Like, why didn't you, like, show scenes? Well, I mean, I did think it was a little bit insensitive of Tad to say that line where he was just like, something like, what was he told her? He told her like, and they were half, to the point that they're almost half dead or something. What was that line he said? And I'm like, how you could even stay half dead in front of her who lost her?
He tried to be more sensitive than he was like a week ago when he told her to get over it. When he basically said, what's wrong? Crystal, I don't get it. What's wrong with you? And that's when she should have beat him over the head. That's when she should have said, I just lost a child. Hello, dumbass.
Yeah, I mean,
I would be like, get your fat ass over here so I can knock your fat head into kingdom come. That's what I would have said. If he said that to me, that's what I would have said. I would have knocked his fat head. Anyway, she puts on her motorcycle hot mama outfit, her pleather jacket and them tight jeans, and she looked good.
Okay.
Less makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Hair's still too good, though. She at least cries in these scenes, right?
Yes.
She almost let creepy David make love to her. Disgusting.
See, yeah, again,
that by him putting his penis in her vagina, that she could be close to Babe.
Yeah. That's what he said. I know. I'm sorry.
I don't make this up, people. Chuck Prattle does.
I'm going to tell you, yes, it is a known fact that through grief and death and stuff, the way to reaffirm life is to be really close with
just
somebody
like
in a sexual way.
Aiden.
No. No, and I'm going to explain why. Because Guiding Light did something very similar back in the 80s.
All right, just make it quick. I can't take much more of the storyline, I swear.
Listen, when they thought that Fletcher and Maureen had died, they were in some war-torn country, Claire and Ed had sex. But let me tell you, they literally thought that their two lovers were blown to bits in front of them. And when the two of them were there in the hotel room, they had look of pain on their face. They were numb. They were not even in their right state of mind. They were so filled with grief that they had sex. That is not what happened with Adam and Kendall. Adam and Kendall, that was the most bizarre thing. They just had sex.
Adam just looked numb. Adam just looked numb, period. That's how he always looked.
Let me tell you something. This has been the best acting that he's done all week.
We will get to that. Fantastic. He's lying on that gurney. I believe every second of it.
But I was mad because they keep teasing us and I kept screaming to the TV, die, Adam, die.
Damn it. I was like, when Greenlee was going to sign the thing to like put him on, to not let him be on life support. Yeah. I was like, sign it. All right. Anyway, so then after Crystal gets her wits back and decides not to let David put his penis in her vagina, she goes home and lets Tad put his penis in her vagina, finally.
That was creepy to me, too.
Yeah, but still, that man deserves something, because she ain't no prize. He should at least be getting a little something-something.
The dialogue was so, give it to me, Tad.
And she's crying!
Give it to me. No, kiss me like you mean it.
Kiss me like you mean it, Tad.
It was bizarre to me. It was bizarre. I mean, she was like begging for sex from her husband.
I need you to make love to me, Tad.
Give it to me.
She was crying all through their lovemaking. Do you think maybe it was because Tad was still at his heavy stage? She's crying because she couldn't breathe.
It's like Roger on What's Happening when his mother used to hug him. Mama, I can't breathe. Oh, I miss some Mabel King.
Oh, I miss her. She died, right?
Yeah, she a long died. Time ago. She died. It was very tragic, her death.
What happened to her?
She was from What's Happening. I think she had diabetes or some condition, and they had to, I think they had to amputate, or she was not able to walk towards the end, and she was living like in some Hollywood
bungalow.
But like for actors who couldn't afford it. Aww. So it was like really, she died a very tragic death.
Oh, that's sad.
And she's not the only one. They all died on What's Happening almost. Rerun died. Fred Berry.
He did finally die?
Yeah, and Shirley.
She died too?
Yeah.
She died penniless also.
Yeah, they you know, it's very sad what happened. That's why I love Everybody Hates Chris, because it's the one show that keeps all the African-American actors working. Well, like, everybody. Ernie Hudson works on it, and Jackie Harry, who used to be on Another World. And, you know, Debbie Morgan was on What's Happening. Remember, she was Dwayne's girlfriend.
Oh, my God, that's
little
right.
Little Debbie Morgan. Debbie, we remember everything about you.
She looks
you.
The same, too.
She looks, it's so scary.
But you know what I love about that show?
What?
They did not hire beautiful people on that show.
Who?
On What's Happening. Like, the mom was big and fat and black and real.
Yeah.
Like, she was a real mama.
Yeah.
And little D...
I love me some little D. But you know what the thing was? Back then, they hired people that could act.
Yeah, and were real people.
And we're real, nowadays, thanks to Judy Blythe Wilson.
You gotta look good in a skirt to get hired.
Yeah, that's all my children seems to do.
Ridic. All right, so Amanda's now wearing the dress. We'll switch back to her. She's now wearing the dress, and she's at Fusion.
Mm-hmm.
And JR the freak comes and rips it off her like he's gonna rape her. And Erica catches him.
It was too much. It was too forced. It was like, why would he go to that? I mean, like, he's not drunk. Why would he go to that extreme? I mean, you're forcing these characters to act in a way just because you think that this is the way that it should go.
You're
trying to push your agenda.
Ridiculous. Erica saves him. And then, of course, JR goes home and looking for a drink. And I'm impressed because Adam has finally gotten rid of all the liquor in the house.
Yeah.
He's never done that before, ever.
I mean, Carmen had to force him to do it way back when. Oh, remember Carmen?
Oh, remember her. Those were the days.
I don't think she's coming back. I don't think she's coming back. I did think that the Erica stuff was good and believable. I think that if she did walk in on somebody like raping, trying to, you know what
I mean? She has a history.
Her reaction was really good. I found it bizarre that she told Amanda, you need to call Jesse Hubbard. Why is it that everybody has to call Jesse Hubbard? Call the police.
I bought that, though.
Call the police.
Well, because they know him personally. So.
Erica's never even had a scene with Jesse.
Really?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like she knows Jesse.
Jordan has, like, a computer brain.
She's never had scenes with Jesse since he came back.
In every scene.
She wasn't at Jesse and Angie's wedding.
And every time before the show, he goes, like a Rolodex. And he knows.
I don't even know if they knew each other back in the 80s when he was on. That's how stupid it was for her to say, call the police is fine enough. Because the problem is, you got a police force. The chief of police doesn't work on every case. And that goes to my problem with the whole Jesse going to Puerto Rico and dropping everything with his family. This show is ridiculous at times.
Ridiculous. Well, let's wrap this damn storyline up. It is exhausting. Erica comes over to tell Adam that JR tried to rape Amanda. And then Adam kind of knows, he's a smart dude, that Amanda's maybe pulling some crap. And JR kind of defends her. Whatever, I'll let it pass. It was fine.
Yeah, JR, you're an idiot.
And then Mandy again goes back to David for the 82nd time and says that she won't frame JR. It's not going to work. And then
she's like a 16-year-old tease.
No, but no.
I don't want to have sex with you. Put it in just a little.
But listen!
No, we can't do it. You can do it in the back.
Well, it's just weird. It's so abusive. It's like so uncomfortable to watch. And then Crystal goes home, and after making love to Tad, she says, "Tad, make love to me again, Tad. I need to feel you near me."
Just ick. I'm sorry.
And she turns around and is David's face.
Oh.
And she screams, "Rah, rah, rah, rah."
I'm not buying it. All right, let's go to the next storyline we're not buying. Jesse and Angie and Rebecca. Let's get that out of there. I'm gonna tell you right off the bat. I will agree with you guys that the actress playing Natasha is attractive.
Natalia,
whatever her name is. Isn't that Boris and Natalia from Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Someone called her the African American Levin Rambin.
Oh, that's good.
I buy that.
She does look like that. She does look that. But I'm gonna tell you right off the bat, she's not a good actress. She's dead
agree.
Behind the eyes. She
I
makes
don't agree.
She
I
makes
don't
Randy
agree.
Look more alive than anything.
You put her
and
in an act over
Randy.
Hell
oh hell
yeah.
No.
There's no comprehension in
no,
Randy's
she,
dumb
we're
head.
Gonna disagree. No, oh.
You are
and,
insane.
And you really think that Natalia's a good actress?
I think she's fine. I just don't like her
no,
character.
No, I want but Yaya
hate,
back.
I hate right. the character and
you're gonna
hate
tell me that she's better than Yaya?
Yeah, she's more sure of herself than Yaya, yep. Absolutely. I don't think she's better. Like, I don't respond more to her. But
no.
I think Yaya is a little more insecure as an actress.
No,
I'd rather see Yaya.
I don't... This girl
Natalia
annoys me.
Natalia's more of a pro. What's her story? Doesn't she have some kind of story? Isn't she from somewhere, this actress?
Is she? I can't believe she acts, to be honest with you.
I'm
sorry. I'm telling
agree.
You right off the bat, I do not like this girl.
I don't agree.
I don't like her.
I don't blame you for not liking her, but it's not for me. It's not because she can't act. She's fine. She just is not a great character. Horrible character.
Well, there, cause there's
horrible
no,
storyline. Horrible.
To my problem, you bring on characters without a reason. In other words, you're coming on. She had a reason. You brought Angie's daughter on because she was Angie's daughter. No, you need to bring on because you have a story for her to tell. The same thing with this. There's no story here.
Yes, there is.
What?
It's dumbass story.
Oh.
Towards the end, you know, the end of the week, what Rebecca said. Rebecca said that Natalia found the box that she was going to die, and that's why she came to Pine Valley looking for Jesse.
And she's a cop?
Natalia?
Yeah.
Hell,
Rebecca tells Jesse it's the cop instinct in her.
Because she's Jesse's kid. She ain't no cop. She's a kid. You know
so
what I'm saying?
Does Frankie have the cop instinct?
He must because he's Jesse's kid.
That's stupid. You don't say things like that. My father drove a school bus. That is, you're going to tell me you're a school bus driver instinct in you?
You do.
That's stupid.
I've noticed when you drive, Jordan Hudson, you have very quick reflexes.
Biatch, I don't even have a driver's license. I lived in New York my whole life. I had no
Come
reason
on,
to drive.
Work with me. This is an entertainment show here. The people like entertainment. Work with me.
Natalia needs to go. I want Yaya back.
Listen, she absolutely needs to go. So does Rebecca. No offense. I like her.
But again, it's like, you know what the problem with this is? Like, you're giving us bits and pieces of them.
No,
you want us to get invested in them, but you don't show us
that's
them.
That's not the problem with this.
All right.
The problem with this is the storyline sucks.
All right, let's recap it because this.
I don't want to recap it. I'm too angry.
Come on, let's recap it.
This is not a Jesse that we know, people. We don't know this freaky man. Here's what bothers me. I didn't realize it until I was telling Carlo. Actually, it wasn't Carlo. It was Pedro. Pedro was watching with me a little bit last week.
Uh-huh.
And I told him, I said, you don't even know. Jesse and Angie were the truest loves to ever enter that little damn box. the television screen, all of daytime television, they are the two most truly in love characters that you ever want to know. There is, that love is sacred. There is not, it's like the Bible. You cannot touch it. You cannot foul it. You cannot mess with it. And then you have this stupid biatch. I don't get it. And him, I don't know this man. Who the hell is this man that spends 20 years of his life with this thing, having a baby with her, ignoring his true love? And we're supposed to believe that Papel, the most criminal mastermind in the whole planet, can't tell Jesse, apart from Jesse, you know, Jesse married to Angie, Jesse married to Rebecca? Give me a break. Oh, I got a stomachache.
Can I say something?
I'm so mad about it.
This is what you just said. This is what I call holes in a storyline, girl. Holes in a storyline. Holes.
It's just the obliterated character.
This one's like Swiss cheese, girls. There's so many holes in the storyline. It's a dumbass storyline.
All right, I'm going to go through this so fast. Go ahead. Rebecca's dying. She wants to die surrounded by the people she loves. Angie is being misunderstanding about everything. So she comforts Rebecca. She comforts Natalia. She even gets
Saint
Frankie.
Saint Angie of Pine Valley.
Absolutely. Saint Angie of Pine Valley even gets Frankie to agree that they should take in Rebecca and Natalia.
This is a big apartment they have. How can they have all these people in this apartment?
I hate this apartment. This apartment is exactly what's wrong with their...
The Hubbards should be in their house.
They need a home. Not even a house. A home. An apartment is an insult. They have a home. Create a home for the Hubbards.
Well, you know what?
Without no damn somebody cancer in the blog, woman and her illegitimate daughter.
Somebody in the blog made a good point, too. The whole fact that Erica doesn't have a home is really ridiculous. Pathetic. I mean, Erica Kane... Come on, she would not be living at the freaking... I mean, I remember when they used to give Erica a new place every year.
Then, anyway, I'm going to go back to this because I got to get done with this story. Yeah, let's get this.
Natalie signed...
Shatia signed some dumbass do not resuscitate agreement. And Rebecca, with her very good diction... Her diction annoys me. I like the actress, but her diction annoys me. She tells Natalia, "Honey, it's what I want. I'm at peace with my decision to die. I want you, Natalia, to know that."
Can I tell you something?
What?
I thought the dialogue in that scene was horrible. The fact that she was telling her that... What was it she said? She said something about, like, it's the greatest adventure. The death is, like, the greatest adventure, and it's the next thing.
No freaking comment.
It was the most...
No freaking comment.
Bizarre dialogue. I mean, I gotta tell you, these people who write this show right now, the dialogue writers are horrible.
Horrible.
So, that was creepy.
The whole thing... Icky, weird, disgusting. So then Rebecca is living there, and Jesse comes home from Puerto Rico, and he is so grateful that she's there. And then he thanks Angie and for her compassion, tells her he loves her over and over and over again. And then they sit down and they make dinner. So then Angie's dumping a whole load of salt in his pasta, which it seems the only thing Angie makes for Jesse is pasta.
Because spaghetti and meatballs is his favorite.
Oh, God.
Or is it roast beef?
What a...
Or is it meatloaf?
I can't.
Or is it Domino's?
I can't.
So then, is it Papa John's?
It could be. So then Rebecca is surprised. I'm going to call her Reba. That's more fun. Gives her a little edge. Reba tells the story of Jesse's high blood pressure because she's shocked that Angie is using salt. She reveals that Jesse went to the doctor and that he should not be on salt. And then Jesse protests his low-salt diet, and they reminisce about how tasteless the food that she used to make him was. And then Rebecca and Angie team up in a sign of solidarity, and they toss that big jug of salt. Uncomfortable, icky, creepy. Then they say grace. Please kill me. And then she adds a little something. Rebecca adds, Reba adds a little something to it. Thanks Angie and Jesse for the love and help and all that stuff. And then Jesse and Rebecca, Reba, reminisce. Ick! Disgusting! And Jesse is so freaking clueless about and insensitive to his true love that he's reminiscing in front of her? Give me a damn break. Angie gets up and leaves and goes to the doctor's or the hospital to find some files. And I'm like, good. Leave that mofo.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
It's, you know what the problem with it? It was very heavy-handed.
That's
In other words, you want this to work. You got to plot this out better. You can't. It was so. I mean, come on. These characters are not adults. They're not stupid teenagers. I mean, it just was so over the top and so blood, like so obvious. You know what I mean? What they were going for. They could have played it a little bit more subtle. It didn't work. It was too bad. And where is Natalia?
I don't give a crap. I'm glad she's gone.
You were just defending her.
I'm only defending her acting. I'm not defending her being.
Yeah, but her character was not there. Where is Natalia living?
Good. Let her go.
Why wasn't she there for dinner?
I don't know.
Does she have a life? Where is she living? I thought she was living there with them.
I don't know where
she. You know who she reminds me of?
Who?
Yaya. Because remember, Yaya was never around either. There'd be scenes where the Hummers would come for dinner and I'm like, where's Yaya? I can't even remember her character's name. What was the character's name? I can't even remember.
Cassie.
Cassie.
You know what the difference between her and Cassie is?
What?
100 pounds. Listen, she was skinny. That Yaya skinny. So then the whole thing wraps up.
Not as skinny as Reese.
Oh, that's true. Reese has got less pounds than they do. All right, so Reba confesses after Angie takes off that she pushed Jesse back to Angie because she knew she was dying. She didn't do it out of the grace of her heart. She did it because she knew she was dying anyway. She's like, might as well let the guy have a few good years. So then she has all these secrets in some damn box that Natalia finds. And that's why Natalia went to find Jesse. That's your reason right there. Stupid, ridiculous, crap. I wish I could do that to the storyline. I wish I could.
Angie was pouting at the hospital.
This is what would be beautiful.
Rebecca did tell Jesse, oh, I, this is where you belong. This is your home or something. All right,
fine.
She admitted that.
She did, fine. I don't give a crap.
It was boring.
But, well, you know what we could do? Just like we could have Dixie come back in the shower and make love to Tad, we could have Angie wake up and have this whole thing be a nightmare. Just a whole nightmare that she dreamed of that never really happened.
Mm. Okay, what's next?
I'm getting these people over with. We don't have much time, so we're getting these people done. And perhaps the most offensive storyline ever written.
And I'm saying that because we're Puerto Rican, damn it. And I am insulted by this storyline. They're making my island and my people look like we're idiots.
Our island.
Like, we're lazy and we just sit there around. Like, we don't want to help anybody. Like,
and
the cop was
stupid.
Doing it. We're stupid. And, oh, my
Listen,
God.
Listen, our people may be temperamental, but we ain't stupid. Our people sit around at night after dinner for hours talking politics, playing dominoes, talking history,
listening to music,
playing music. My grandmother used to whip out a guitar. My 70-year-old grandmother would whip out an acoustic guitar and start playing and singing Spanish songs for us for the whole night after every dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Every dinner.
My uncle
and
used
she would
to get
make every dinner.
My uncle used to get drunk, God rest his soul, and talk political debates. My uncle was
Puerto
very
Ricans love
yeah,
politics.
He was more he was so coherent when he had a little alcohol in him, and he would get into feverish debates about politics and everything.
That's the only thing about when we talk politics, sometimes people get hurt. But that's all right. We're passionate people, but we ain't stupid, we ain't lazy.
I mean,
ain't a third world country.
Chuck Pat, have you and your writing staff ever been to Puerto Rico? Because obviously you have not, the way you're portraying it.
You don't need a passport to get there, mofo. It's part of the United States.
And then I have a question for you. At one point, did they leave Puerto Rico? Because I could have sworn Greenlee was telling Jake on the phone, we're on Pogo Island or something.
Something like that.
So when did they leave Puerto
Rico?
Remember
that 2-hour flight to that island that I was telling you about that pissed me off? I don't think, it's so convoluted. I don't think they were in Puerto Rico and that island was part of Puerto Rico. And I think that island was like another island somewhere else. Jake got there lickety-split, though, didn't he?
I love Jake went like this. I'll be right there, like if he was going around the corner.
Jake Iver. You know what it's like?
What?
He put on his Iron Man suit.
No.
And he flew over there in his Iron Man suit.
He went to his JLA teleporter.
The
Justice League in the DC universe, they have teleporter machines like Star Trek. You walk in there and like instantly you're in another place.
That's awesome.
That's what Jake Iver does. Because he's Jake Iver.
It took longer for Ryan and Annie to get from Puerto Rico to that little island than Jake to come from Pennsylvania to Puerto Rico to that little island.
And why is everybody from Pine Valley coming to this island? First Jesse, now Jake. I mean, it's this storyline is so stupid.
Did you notice that when Greenlee called Jake to come over, she didn't really give him the address?
I'm on Pogo Pogo Island.
In a hospital. I guess there's only one hospital there, so I guess he found it. But all right, so listen, Jesse goes to Puerto Rico at the beginning of the week, and we've already seen that Di is dead. But thank God she shot Adam before her ex-boyfriend, no less, before she croaked.
That was she didn't do the job right. He's still alive.
Hell no. Oh, did you hear? Did you hear Tad tell JR that Di was shot?
That was like a 2-second scene. Did you hear about Di? I don't believe it. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they did. That's That's exactly what it was like. Four lines between the two of them about that situation. You never saw a scene where Tad got a phone call about it or JR got a phone call about it from anybody. They just all of a sudden somehow found out about it. This is what I'm talking about bad writing, bad writing.
Bad writing. So listen, so the cops finally come because they hear gunshots. And in the third world country of Puerto Rico, the cops don't give a crap about missing kids. All they care about is guns.
And reading the newspaper.
And reading newspapers. And so the cops take Annie and Ryan and Greenlee in, and we find out that Aiden could die because in this third world country of Puerto Rico, there are no good doctors or good hospitals. so he surely will die from a cut to his leg because they don't know how to deal with that.
And they don't know how to speak English because every time that Jake was telling them something, they just nodded their heads like idiots and ran around the room in circles.
Well, let me tell you. I told you people the story. Did I tell you people the story when I was a little girl and I had abuela? My abuela was abuela Clota. That was my abuela.
Uh-huh.
She was 98 years old or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I think she died at like 102.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw her, she was like 98. And I was like 6. And I would go to Puerto Rico and I would see her and I'd be like, Grandma, Grandma, look at what I have. Isn't this fun? And she would be like, uh-huh, uh-huh. So then I went back when I was 16 and she was like 108. And I said, Grandma, it's so good to see you. How are you feeling? You know, you look so pretty, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, uh-huh, uh-huh.
She didn't understand a word.
She did not know a word I was saying. I never knew my whole life.
Aww.
She did not speak one word. But it was cool. Behind her house was an outhouse. She didn't have no plumbing. Actually, she did have plumbing, but when she first had the house, it had an outhouse. And we used to drink the coconut water from the coconuts. You crack the coconut. You know,
she lived out in the campos?
She's a macheto, machete, Humacao.
Humacao. Okay.
That's fun. Anyway.
Back in the third world country, Puerto Rico.
Annie and Ryan, well, they are so tricky. They get those. They're put in jail, and they get those jail keys from those dumbass, aw shucks, Puerto Ricans. The only good Puerto Rican in the show was that doctor. Doctor was good. He had a good accent, too. He said,
why did he have to have an accent, though? Because, I was just in Puerto Rico, and no. So many people on the island don't have accents.
All right, fine, but I liked it. I thought he had a nice, subtle one. It wasn't over the top. He said, aorta. He didn't say aorta. He didn't say aorta. He said aorta. That's good.
Andale, 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 andale.
Yeah, that's Mexican. So anyway, this doctor tells Greenlee that he can't do the surgery to heal Adam and that she needs to say goodbye. And at this point, Jordan and I are like, yeah! They're dying!
We know the truth. We know he's not going to die.
And poor Greenlee, did you see her? Her reaction when she was found out, when she found out that Adam was going to die? She couldn't care less.
You know, Rebecca, I'm sorry. You need to
sing it in, Rebecca.
You really need to look at Sydney Penney's farewell scenes and yes. Go out with grace.
Just say F it.
Just
say suck it.
Suck it. And suck it, Charles Pratt. And just give a performance because it makes you look bad
it
when
does
you
because we know you care. We know you don't give a crap.
We know you don't give a crap, but at least pretend to.
You're too good for that.
Don't go out like that, Rebecca.
Don't give them that. Don't do that. Make don't the fans. Do it for your fans.
Do it for us.
Thank you.
Give us something. Because she was awful.
Terrible.
She was really.
I've never seen Rebecca that careless.
She was so like, whatever.
Never. Have you ever seen her people that
careless? Because she was probably like, God, if we could finish shooting these scenes by 3 o'clock, I can go to my massage by
totally.
Sven.
I could totally go to Reebok Club and get a good workout for like an hour. I could take my Taibo class. Yeah, totally. Totally. So listen, so in the meantime, little Emma is in some Puerto Rican chapel with candles everywhere.
But see, was this on the island or was this on Goon Island?
This was on Goon Island.
So
on
it was
Pogo,
in Puerto
Pogo.
Rico. Pogo Pogo, okay.
Pogo Pogo. And, you know, Ryan and Annie, because they have the keys, they easily escape. Because they don't have any numbskull Puerto Rican cops to worry about.
And there's only one church on this island, huh?
One church on Puerto Rico.
Because how did they figure out she was at a church? Because there was some candle wax in the hotel room.
Annie's purse. Remember when they touched the purse? Ooh, it's like, no, Dice purse.
Oh, my God. It's like an episode of Columbo.
Yes, and Rosary. That's what it was. It was exactly episode of Columbo.
Oh, Kelly. Is this that stupid? I'm sorry. Tell me. Am I wrong? Is this not the most stupidest thing?
Oh, it's so insulting.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Then we have... What do I do? All right, I'm just gonna say it. Then they have Green calling Jake for help and not David, and I was just like, a couple of our bloggers noticed this. I don't get it. You have the top. I don't think Charles Pratt-Hole read the Cliff's Notes on the characters. David Hayward, best cardiothoracic surgeon on the planet. Greenlee's brother-in-law, perfect fit to take care of Adam.
But then they would have to have Greenlee admit that she was in love with Leo and that Leo was the love of her life, and that's why she's calling David because of that. Has David even seen Greenlee since he came back? No.
Good question. No.
And they were close. See, this is when I like the show. They were so close. This is when I like the show because he told her when Leo died, you'll always be part of my family and I will always look out for you. Uh-huh. Yeah, that shows how much he cares.
Well, Jake gets there, like we said, in about 10 minutes.
And no, we're talking about literally it took him 10 minutes to get there because he was there in the next scene.
And he's very verklempt because he's got no albumin, no O positive blood.
Nobody speaks English on this island.
These are like having Band-Aids. Like not having albumin or blood is like not having Band-Aids. But it makes sense. It's the third world country of Puerto Rico.
Yep, there you
go. Why would you have Band-Aids in a hospital? So then poor Emma is all alone in that little chapel. Aunt Di, where are you? I'm scared. And then Emma, who has the biggest brains of all of them, and I mean that seriously, decides to try to escape. So she grabs a chair, and when she grabs a chair to look out the window, when she grabs a chair, she knocks one of the 872 candles off of its ledge. Now, you would think that Di would be a little concerned about leaving a child in a place where there's like 872 candles burning. But no.
All right, but see, Emma asked a brilliant question to Ryan when they rescue her, and she's like, Daddy, why did Aunt Di leave me in the church alone? Brilliant. And I have to say, I wonder that too, little Emma. Why would a grown-up leave a child in a third world country of Puerto Rico in a church all by herself?
Yes.
I mean, it doesn't even merit
discussion. I swear to God. Let's just wrap this up.
This man is getting paid to write the show, and he can't even write anything of any intelligence.
So Jesse has helped them find this church, and so Cryan, the superhero, you know, knocks down the door and rescues Emma. And he's still pretending at this point that he cares about Insani. Anyway, they get to the hospital with Greenlee, and they don't get arrested because Jesse buys off the Puerto Rican dumbass cops. Those silly Puerto Ricans.
Well, he told Ryan, you got to donate $5,000 to the $10,000 to the police fund.
By the way, you just donated $10,000 to the Puerto Rican Police Benevolent Association. Something like that.
All right, so then they all go home. They airlift Adam. They airlift Emma and Annie. And then Emma checks out just fine. And Annie's all happy because she says, everything's great. Everything's great, Ryan. We can all be a family now. And Ryan says, well, not exactly, Annie. Aiden could die. He's a smart one, that Ryan. He figures it right out.
And Annie
sounds suspicious.
And Annie's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Aiden could die. Anyway, they get to Ryan's. Ryan tells Emma that this is her home. Emma asks about Aunt Di. And Annie says, Aunt Di is Aunt dead. And then they go get cozy. And Ryan tells Annie he knows that she did everything. And she pulls a gun. Kill me. And then Jake is in the hospital telling Greenlee she has to pull the plug. And that's where Jordan and I cheer. Do it. But then Aiden says, no. No, Greenlee.
Don't sign it, Greenlee. Don't sign it, you wanker.
What do we do?
Oh, my God. We got
10 minutes. I'm talking about the rest of this freak show in 10 minutes. Talk about Brat. Brat's in the closet with Taylor.
With Kobe.
I wish it was Taylor. And Taylor giggles through her scenes with Jake. Taylor and Jake have French desserts in the hospital, and Taylor is starting to act like both a hick as well as a silly girl. It's true. She doesn't know what desserts or what a French dessert is? Come on now. What?
That was good.
He's very supportive. Anyway, in the meantime, we are forced, and I know you want to talk about this. We are forced to watch Colby and Brat act.
Look, I'm going to say
bless
it.
Bless their hearts.
I'm going to say it really nice.
Diane.
Brat is not a real actor, but we agree that he has a lot of heart and that he's enjoyable. And I think that when he's put opposite people that can really act, it improves him and it shows him and it makes him, like, try harder. These scenes with him and Colby on Tuesday when they are by themselves was, I mean, Chinese water torture would have been easier. I would have rather gotten a test for gonorrhea, which is when they stick this little Q-tip into your penis through the hole. I would have rather gone through that than have to watch Colby and Brat act off each other. I mean, it was painful to watch.
Well, Brat keeps leaving the closet to, like, check on Taylor, and then he sees her, you know, getting along with Jake and stuff, and he goes all out down in the dumps. He's like that Peanuts character. Is it Linus or Charlie Brown? And then you hear the music. And that's how he walks to the hospital. That's an Arrested
Development. She's on a roll this week, I gotta tell you.
I took that from Arrested Development. That was so funny, the Arrested Development. Did you ever see that show?
Yes, I used to love that.
When the young boy walked in.
Yeah. Little George Michael.
Yeah, So then Colby finds Brat back in the closet. She's figured out that Brat is pretending he's dead because of Taylor. Because she's a clever one.
She's a regular Nancy Drew.
She sure is. She's got a lot going on behind that five-head brain. That brain is very big.
That big brain would have to be big for that big forehead.
Exactly. So, okay. So then, let's switch gears a little bit. Because then we're back to the Chandler Mansion where we have, like, the third breach of security in, like, 2 days. Adam gets downstairs and the damn door is open and he has a gun and it's Petey and I just want to kill somebody. I don't get it. But I did like Adam busting Petey's balls over Petey's loudspeaker confession. Remember what he said?
Mm-hmm.
That explains where she is, you Muppet. She's hiding from you. And then Taylor's at the hospital. Switch back to Taylor. She's back at the hospital. She's crying over Brat. You know, and actually I like those scenes where she was like crying, dance with me. Did you like those? Mm-hmm. She's looking at the picture?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she doesn't have the picture yet, right?
Mm.
Not yet.
Can I?
All right, interject. All right. I'm trying to get through this as fast as possible.
But I'm going to tell you what my problem is with this storyline.
The writing? The bad scenes?
No, because this
the
is
dialogue. The dialogue.
Like, you're pushing Taylor and Jake, but obviously Taylor is still
in love
with Brat.
Yes.
And I don't know. All right, keep going.
Let's talk about Brat's mom.
Somebody in the blog don't like her. They called her. What did they call her? The woman with the eyes.
Some buggy eyes. Honestly, she has some buggy eyes.
I forgot who the blog was. Like, oh my god, the crazy lady's back with the eyes.
She's crazy, and she.
You know, we used to call this girl in college who looked like that, eyes on a stick, because she was real thin.
Oh.
And she had these big eyes that, like, bulged out, and we used to call her.
You have to add those pencils, and you put the two eyes.
Yeah, we call her eyes on a stick.
That's what she's like. Eyes on a stick. I like that. So Eyes on a Stick comes back to visit Taylor and admit that she lied about not knowing Taylor. I got to tell you something. With Eyes on a Stick, the lights are on, but nobody's home.
Yeah, her reason for not telling Taylor.
Creepy.
What was it she told Taylor again?
This is her reason.
It was so. This is what I'm talking about, bad writing and bad dialogue. This, just like Rebecca's confession to Natalia that death is the next big adventure. This was as stupid.
I'm going to tell you.
Go ahead. What was her reason? Go ahead, because I love this. Go ahead.
I had made a spiritual connection with Brat, and I was afraid that if I acknowledged you would break that.
Who writes this crap?
It's freaking weird.
How did they get a job as a writer and they write this and they get paid for this?
It would have only been better if she had, like, a rosary around her neck with wax on it. That would have only been better.
How? What does that, how does that make sense, Kat?
Well, Beth Ehlers acts her little heart out opposite this
God,
nonsense.
God bless her.
God bless her. She, Greenlee, Rebecca Buttig, you should take a cue from Beth Ehlers. Beth Ehlers, they could put a load of brick of crap in front of her to act opposite of, and she would act her heart out. That's what you got to do, Rebecca. Anyway, back to Chandler Mansion, we have Petey sparring with Adam over Colby. And the reason why I'm talking about this now is because it all comes back to Brat. So Adam calls Petey a doofus. But he still works Petey to get... What does he have over Petey? Why is Petey... The whole Bella thing? Is that how Petey's still working for him at Fusion?
No,
he... Because Petey agrees to work for him to spy it
makes
on
no
Fusion.
It makes no sense.
Anyway, Petey says goodbye to the Seaman. And but he doesn't leave. Instead, he stays and he busts Colby with Brat. Now, has Colby asked Brat to stay in the tunnel or something like that? I feel like that's what it was.
No, Brat, she was going to have him stay, I guess, in the house. And then Petey got interrupted. And then he got freaked out because Brat was going to, like, leave. And she's going to, I got a better place for you. And I don't know where she put him. I don't think they showed that.
You don't think they showed that?
No, but we missed something.
Yeah, we did.
Tad went to visit Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier in the week, Tad went to visit Taylor. He looked nice and slim. And then he said some things that made no common sense about... Like, I hate when writers rewrite history. He told her that Jake, like, snapped him... Like, Jake's... Like, the way Jake snapped her out of it, that's the way Crystal did for him. What was that about? When did Crystal and Tad... Crystal and Tad got together because they wanted to keep their baby away from Adam.
Can we talk about Walnut to like Live the, yet?
I just... That irked me. That rewriting of history irked me because it seems like they're rewriting a lot. Babe is a saint. And the moon came back. Did you see that?
It was Colby and Petey's moon
look
this time.
Oh, my God. Chuck Pat, what is your obsession with the moon? Get over it already. Oh.
I want to moon you, Chuck Pratt.
Suck it.
Suck it, Chuck Pratt. Suck it. All right. I know we have to talk about Erica. I know we have to talk about Zach and Binks and Reese and Kendall. I'm going to talk about Erica first.
Because it's quick.
Erica is now demanding that she's going to leave the Chandler Mansion, and Adam protests that she loves him. Bullshit. I don't give a shit. I hate it. It's ridiculous.
Doesn't make no sense.
Then Erica now is taking over Fusion. She is assigning Randy to some project over the phone, and she demotes Amanda. Dumb scene. Silly. Ridiculous. Yes, we know.
Doesn't make no sense.
Erica's powerful. We know it. You don't need to make her a bitch.
Amanda is Janet's daughter. At one point, Erica and Janet were close.
Anyway, Erica does things because she can. I get it. Whatever. Then, after the whole Erica, Amanda getting practically raped by JR thing... Erica holds a staff meeting.
And where was
Fusion.
The staff? Where are those extras that we see running around? Why weren't they there?
Well, they hired two new girls. I forgot their names though.
No, but those are Erica's girls. I'm talking about where are the regular employees that are always running? Where's the little hot boy with the scruff and the tight jeans that I like? Why wasn't he at the meeting?
No budget. But Val's back. Isn't Val back?
Yeah, Val's not.
He's happy to be back.
He's not a cute queen. The other one was a cute queen.
He's not that cute. Randy has now become the new face of Fusion because I guess Erica doesn't know that she was the whore.
I told you, they never knew each other.
That's so crazy. And then, of course, Greenlee busts in, you know, to protect her company because Jerkson has revealed to her that Kendall has given her power to run the company while Kendall is in something.
I did like that aspect of it.
All right, fine.
I just thought the dialogue was stupid. That Erica had that line. You wouldn't know an original idea if it came and bit you on your trust fund derriere. What?
That was cute.
No, I thought that was corny.
Well, the dumbest thing to me was Randy explaining why she's now in being the face of Fusion.
Oh God, it's so
because
stupid.
Amanda thought she wasn't, and Amanda says, "Well, aren't you worried that your clients will out you?" And Randy, with her big brain, says the clients out me, they out themselves. The way I see it, they won't even recognize me.
That was really good.
That's good.
You sounded like her.
That's like her. Yeah. Well, here's the truth, doofus. I'm gonna call her a doofus. Rancid doofus. You don't need a client to out you. You need anybody that knows what you did to out you. That's all it takes.
Yeah, the Enquirer will take money for just the story, and they get, you're an idiot.
And the Enquirer doesn't need to quote the John in order to do it. They just say unnamed source.
And then they go to you and say, "Were you a hooker?" And what are you gonna do? You gotta tell the truth.
That's right. You can't cry your way out of it. You could say, well, my last job wasn't as a secretary, honey. It was a hooker. A whore. A whoa. She was a whoa. I like when Greeling told the girls that she would let her roots grow up before she lets them take her company from her. Don't care. Don't care. I'm giving myself 2 minutes. Speaking of setup, they tried to set up the whole why Zach donated his sperm to his sister-in-law without telling his wife. That was so painful. Well, Zach, in the beginning of the week, in the beginning of his week, I think it was Wednesday, he records to Kendall, which I like, and Bianca talks to her too, and then everybody's lounging around their robes getting ready for the, actually getting ready for bed. And then at that point, they reminisce with Zach about their night in Paris. Okay, the girls are drinking, and they're telling Zach about joie de vivre. And then they start...
What does joie de vivre mean?
Joy of...
For those people that don't speak Canadian French.
Joy of living. And then they start to make out. And I... This is my favorite moment of the week. When they start making out, Zach's face, he takes a drink. He goes, goop. He takes a drink. And he, like, gives, like, okay, that kind of look. Like, he's excited. I loved it. And that's when the girls moved in for the kill. They got Zach all turned on and then asked him to be their donor. And then he produced a sample right there.
No, he did not.
Oh, no? That's not how it works?
You and your damn high-definition TV.
I thought I saw
just because you saw something
corner.
Poking up doesn't mean that...
I thought I saw him aiming or something. I don't know. It was very strange. So then Zach refers, he even jokes with them about going to the local clinic. So he made clear that he went to a clinic and made the donation. I was disgusted. Anyway.
It's a normal thing.
I do like him and Reese bonding, but I still think the whole thing is weird behind it. That's my problem with it. But he does tell Reese about when he first felt Ian's heart, you know, beating on his chest when he had to hold Ian because Ian was a preemie. And then Reese tells him about wanting to have... hold a beating heart on her chest, and that's when he melts, and that's when he pumps one out. Oh, he didn't do it then either?
No, you
no?
crazy.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep up with the storyline. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, listen, Reese, wasn't Reese holding Greenlee's stuffed tiger? Wasn't that like Mr. Bigglesworth, whatever his name was?
Oh, I don't know.
She was holding a stuffed tiger. I thought that was Greenlee's. Anyway, the end of the episode was nice because Zach holds crying Ian. I like that. And then Reese and Binks go to bed with Miranda and Gabby was pretty. And then the next day is the christening. And then Bianca tries to call Reese's folks. That don't go so well. She cries and cries and cries. And Reese is suspicious, but Bianca gets around it. And then Erica comes over to stand in for Kendall as the godmother looking fabulous. That black pink dress with that, I'm sorry, that black dress with the pink sash, didn't you love it?
No, and Miss Lucci looked...
She turns it out. Now, while everybody's getting ready, Zach flies over. Actually, he beams over to Canada. Right? He had to beam over. He has some kind of technology at the
he went to the JLA teleporter.
The
okay. Justice League teleporter.
The Justice League teleporter. And then he goes to visit Kendall. And I like the doctor that he went to see, but she doesn't give him any answers to his questions. There's like no answers. We're doing everything we can. We're doing everything we can. We're doing everything we can. And we're doing everything we can.
You sounded like Ann Curry.
Oh my God.
Did you ever see that in the soup? They do
no.
that soup. You know who Ann Curry is, right? She's
yeah.
that lady who does the news on the Today Show.
Yeah.
And the soup loves playing this clip over because she's like, good morning. This is good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Ann Curry. Good morning. It's like, you never seen that clip?
Funny.
She actually did
it.
Like, she said good morning like 80,000 times. And the soup loves playing that clip. And you just sounded just like that clip.
I like
you
that.
Say that. I like that.
That was clever.
I like when you do any reference to Chelsea Handler in the soup because I love Joel McHale and Chelsea Handler.
Well, I made an accidental reference. It was fun. All right, so listen. So then he plays the tape first of Spike and Ian to Kendall. I liked it. I liked the tinkle, tinkle little star.
Yeah, it was cute.
I liked it.
It was cute.
Kendall opened her eyes. I know.
Eyes on a stick.
Now he teleports back.
Yes.
Justice League teleports back to the christening. Perfect timing. And then I like this scene. I don't know if you did, Jordan, but the father that they're going to have do the christening comes over and he is homophobic. And he doesn't want to do... the christening.
I like the scene. I like the idea. But again, I feel like the writers have a good thing. And instead of working it, they rushed it. In the old days, this would have been played out in three different scenes. You would have had him come in and the scene would have ended. And they would have gone to commercial with the reveal that he couldn't do this. Mm-hmm. Then you'd come back and in the next scene, they would have a whole battle with Erica and him. And then they would cut to another commercial. And then in the third scene would be Erica saying, get the f*** out of the house then.
Well, I liked
it. And they rush it. But see, this one's about you got to stretch the good stuff out.
I thought it was a small moment. I thought it was a good moment. I liked it.
I think they should have stretched it out.
I hear you. But what I did like classic Erica Kane coming out though. Mm-hmm. She gets a little, you know, she rubs it in and gets a little after school special. And she says, you mean you won't baptize the child of gay parents? And so she escorts that man out the door and she says, Father, we are all God's children.
That line was corny. They could have, I see, this is the thing. These writers don't know how to write. They could have come up with some good, meaty stuff.
I gotta ask you a question.
I gotta ask you a question. What?
Do all rich white people get to have baptisms at home? That's really neat. Because in Puerto Ricans, you got to go to the church. And there's like 82 other kids the same day. But there's 82 other kids the same day all getting baptized.
Is this really a religious thing or is this more spiritual? Is this more of a spiritual thing?
It's supposed to be a godparent.
I know, but what religion is Reese and Bianca?
I don't know.
It depends on what religion they're in.
Well, I like the priest that did it. She was a...
That's my girl, Alice Barrett, who played Frankie Frame on Another World. I couldn't believe it. I was gagging.
I liked her. She was a good...
A big soap diva on Another World. She was like on Another World for years.
She was great.
Yeah, she's a good actress. Oh, I miss me some Frankie Frame.
Well, then not much else happens. Bianca tells Erica that Reese's family has abandoned her and... And then Reese admitted to Zach that she missed her family and she doesn't want to mess up. And there's like lots of like sort of nice human touching moments in the storyline.
My Rianca keeps me going.
Yes, they're pretty good.
Let me miss my Rianca.
Let's talk about One Life to Live. Oh my God. You get 3 minutes today.
Oh, let's say One Life to Live was...
Wait, can I tell you something?
What?
I watched.
I know, you told me.
Past 2 weeks, I'm watched.
I'm very proud of you. Excellent. Did you show. Like? Did I you like it?
Excellent. I found some holes that I hated, but...
Right.
But overall, like, each scene, the scenes are scenes, man, in that show. I was really captivated. And I thought, these actors love saying these words. That's what I thought.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like, everybody thinks I'm... No, I don't... I wasn't a big fan of the show. I don't like a lot of the actors. I'm not a big Erica Slezak fan. But you know what? When they're giving them good stuff and they're playing a real storyline, that's all it takes to get me hooked.
Tell them.
And this week was really good because... There was a lot of fallout, obviously, from the whole Marty thing. And I know everybody's finding, you know, this to be a really hard story to stomach. But you know what? That's what makes it good drama, people. Completely. That's what makes it good drama. It's, you know, it's, yes, guess what? He raped her again. That's what's so horrible. That's what makes it so repulsive. Absolutely. And the fact that everybody's getting so violent about it one way or the other, there's some fans who, because you know
we've
who chimed
had
in?
This story a million times, though. Luke and Laura.
No, but Todd violently raped, it was a gang rape. They raped her in college. I mean, that was a vicious gang rape.
When did this happen?
This happened when Michael Malone was the head writer of the show. I think it happened in 1994.
But they're making it sound like it was a year ago.
No. It was in the past. But the thing is that Todd was played by Roger Howarth, so he had his face changed. That's why Marty. Because when Marty, there was a scene before where Marty actually looked up the situation, and they actually showed Roger Howarth's face.
Wow.
In an old article that she discovered. So that's how she didn't know that it was the same. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was... It's been very... Like, it's been... It is very hard to watch, but it's a good storyline. And she's acting her ass
off. Who chimed in? I cut you off.
What do you mean?
You said someone chimed in.
Oh, from Grey's Anatomy. Miss Miranda... You don't watch Grey's Anatomy?
Hell no.
I keep forgetting her real name. I think it's like Chandra West or something.
I watch Hopkins, not that crap Grey's Anatomy.
She actually, like, oh, I can't even tell you what's going on. Grey's Anatomy, I was so good, and now it's getting so bad. But anyway, she chimed in because she's a big One Night to Live fan, and she's not happy with this storyline. I have to disagree with you, girl. I'm loving this storyline. Anyway, the really big thing is, like, again, Nora and her have been having really great
scenes.
She's been trying to trying to reconnect with her son. Oh. Those are some heartbreaking scenes. But the things that really blew me away was, of course, the whole baby switch. Because the one personality that knows that's not her baby is Tess. Tess knows. Beth knows, but Beth is protecting everybody, so Beth is not going to confess to it. But Tess really knows, and nobody's listening to Tess because Tess is psychotic anyway, so Vicky slaps the shit out of Tess this week, and she's not having it. And nobody believes Tess when Tess says, that's not my baby.
I like it.
Very good stuff, very good stuff. And of course, Jessica keeps coming out, and I love the concept of them showing us what's going on in Jessica's brain with the personality, living for that.
I didn't love the baby switch.
What?
The only reason I didn't love it is because there were not enough people in that hospital. That hospital was so dead, quiet, empty.
Well,
and that baby being in that office and nobody thinking that it was weird that the baby was in the doctor's office.
In all honesty,
she was in NICU.
In all honesty, remember though that this all did happen during the night, and during the night there is less people in a hospital than during the day.
That few, it was too easy.
Well, I overlooked that for the payoff that I'm getting.
I agree.
But my favorite scenes this week were, of course, my favorite diva on the show, Miss Dorian Robin Strasser, was fabulous. They brought her in on Wednesday to confront the doctor who delivered Star's baby, and she has some dynamite scenes. And I knew there was going to be trouble because the minute she said Miss Lord, and she was like, "No, you know damn well it's Dr. Dorian Lord." I was like, "This is on, game on," because I love when Dorian starts throwing that she's Dr. Dorian Lord. And the doctor was like, "Well, you're not on staff anymore, which is why you can't be poking around here." And Dorian was like, "Well, you poke this." I was like, "What? That's the kind of lines you give a diva. All my children, pay attention." That's the kind of lines that Erica should be spewing out. She was good stuff. And then she had some beautiful scenes with Cassie Wesley on Thursday and Friday where they were talking about the relationship. And I gotta tell you, Cassie Wesley is somebody who I think is very, like, underrated. She is a solid, good actress. She plays Blair. She is a really good actress.
You keep confusing me. Cassie DePaiva.
I know. I used to watch her on Guiding Light, so I know her as Cassie Wesley. It's very hard for me to call her Cassie DePaiva.
When I started, I watched One Life to Live for a little while, about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
Or two, maybe 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I thought she was awful. But I could tell that she was not enjoying her work.
Yeah.
Now, she's loving the story.
Yeah, I mean,
and she's doing great with Star. And with John. Fantastic.
Oh, my God. Her scenes with John. Her scenes with Todd, when she confronted Todd.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, my God. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. They wrote some really good dialogue.
He would have died.
Yeah, she has some really good meaty stuff this week. And then the scenes with her and Dorian. And this is what I'm talking about.
I love the scenes with her and Star. I will take those. And that's the thing that kills me, is like watching the scenes with her and Star and how real they are and realistic. It just, and how realistic Star is as a teenager and her teenager friends and Cole.
Yeah.
I just love it. Like, it's like, it was so funny because Carlos came to the room. He's like, "Damn, those people are ugly." Some ugly people on that show. And I was like, you know what? They might not be like physically perfect, but they're such good actors and they're so real that I love it.
And I like, well, everybody on Grey's Anatomy is not that pretty.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's cool.
I like that. But I guess those scenes with Dorian and Blair were so brilliantly written, so brilliantly well handled and done. I mean, the Blair confessing to Dorian about her real feelings for Todd now, and how can she explain this to the kids, and like, what is she going to do now with this situation? And then, of course, Dorian being Dorian, who's always so concerned about her family, telling Blair, "Well, now what happens between you and John?" And she's already, you know, bringing that up because, yeah, it's true. It's like John was in love with Marty before Marty died. Mm-hmm. And my heart goes out because I actually like John and Blair together. I really do. I think Blair needs to get away from Todd and have a healthy relationship. But I'm definitely going to be tuning in because I want to see my Florencia when she comes back, because mm-hmm. I love me some Taya Delgado. And that's the only way that you can, you know, Taya is Todd's true love as far as I'm concerned. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting in Landview. And Jeannie Francis, I miss you already. You know, Jeannie Francis left General Hospital 2 weeks ago. And we didn't get to talk about that. But those scenes with Jeannie Francis, obviously General Hospital needs their Laura. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why Brian Franz is being such a about it.
He doesn't have the money, people.
Suck it, Brian Franz. Suck it.
He doesn't have the money for any of these people. That's got to be it, don't you think?
Well, then you know what? Make the shows a half an hour then.
Oh, that's a big one, though.
Bring them down to half an hour.
But then they make less money.
No, you get paid. I think you get paid. No.
No. They make less money if...
Oh, for average... Well, yeah. I don't know. All I know is that it's a catch 22. It's like, you need to save money, but you know what? You're not going to get the ratings up. You know, this is the thing that irks me about soap operas right now, is that the difference between I Love Lucy and Roseanne and 30 Rock or Dr. Kildare, Saint Elsewhere, and Grey's Anatomy, there is no difference. They were all comedies. They were all dramas. for some reason, people like Ellen Wheeler and now, what's his name, Christopher Gottman, who I used to respect so much, and as well turns, and I can't stand him now. You guys think that you need to reinvent the wheel. There's nothing to reinvent. The people, reason people don't watch soap operas anymore is because you're not giving us soap operas anymore. You're trying to do something different. You're trying to give us a reality show on Guiding Light. It's like, stick to what soap operas are supposed to be about romance, about escapism, about fun, adventure, family values, people connecting, seeing relationships played out. That's what's going to bring people back to watching soap operas. There's a reason the Spanish novelas are so popular and the ratings don't go down on those shows. Is because those shows stick to what soap operas are supposed to be about. There's romance, there's the heroes, there's the villains, there's the bitch, there's the bastard, there's the skeevy people, there's plots, there's murder, there's backstabbing, there's drama. Every day you come back because you don't want to like miss an episode and you're drawn back. That's what people want. Soaps are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and that's why people are not watching. Stop trying to reinvent the wheel.
Amen to that.
I'm sorry, I had to get that to come out.
Good. I'm glad. That was very ass too. Well, listen, we hope that even if you're not watching, we hope that you're still listening. Because we love doing the show for you.
We
love it.
Go ahead, say
it. No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
We watch so you don't have to.
And we hope that you'll keep listening. If you want to write us, go ahead. Email us, pvp@thepinevalleypodcast.com. Or you can go to our MySpace page and maybe one day we'll check it out. www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast. Or you can go to the blog site, which is www.pinevalleypodcast.com. You can connect to our blog and leave your thoughts and your comments. We got a few other links there. You know, check them out. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
The true life story you are about to see was lifted from the files of the Bunko Squad. We call it the Case of the Gullible Woodpecker.
Man, is he loaded! What'll I use on this pigeon? Gold brick? Brooklyn Bridge? Ah, phony treasure map!
A buried treasure? Wow!
A person obsessed with greed is easy prey for the confidence man. If Woody had gone right to the police, this would never have happened.
Get your late treasure map right here, $40.
If Woody had gone right to the police, this would never have happened.
Hooray! It's here! This is it! I better get a shovel. He looks kind of familiar. I've been swindled!
If Woody had gone right to the police, this would never have happened.
Stop, you crook!
If Woody had gone right to the police...
I